Okay, we're live.
We're good. We're recording everybody. Karen, Rachel, you good? Council, my left, you good? Willie, you good? We'll get started. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out for the city council meeting. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Quiatek?
Present.
Ms. Laird? Ms. Leon?
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Present.
And Mr. Cologne?
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Councilwoman Laird had advised me previously she was away on vacation this evening. Councilwoman Wilhelm?
With the large numbers in attendance here, I'm wondering, I'd like to make a motion to move public comment on items not related to the agenda to the end of the meeting so that we can focus on the votes and then hear comment on items not related to the agenda afterward.
So the motion on the floor from Councilwoman Wilhelm is to move 3A, public comment for anything not being voted on, to right before adjournment after we get through resolutions. Correct, Councilwoman?
Correct.
Second.
Second from Councilwoman Quiatek. Open to discussion. Any discussion from members of council? I'll just say, and I am going to be voting in support of this, so all we're doing, for those who are not used to council meetings or haven't been here before, our public comment is when we are receptive or here and here for anyone to make comment. We're going to move it to the end of the agenda when we vote on the things that we need to vote on. And then a large amount of people are here to talk about the ICE raid, so that'll be the time. Once we just vote on city business that we have to vote on, then we'll open it up and everyone who has signed up will be called individually and given their opportunity to speak. Okay. So approval of the, so any other discussion? Jump ahead a little bit. Councilwoman Cranston?
I certainly see the benefit of it, but I guess I'm just confused because it was something I had brought up last year and no one agreed to it because they thought we were limiting free speech. So I guess I just have to express my confusion on why we do it right now.
So I'll turn to Councilwoman Wilhelm in a moment if she wants to give further comment, but I believe, and I don't have the minutes in front of me, but I had said at the time, or I'll say now for anyone in the room, it's an as-needed basis. I think a night like tonight, so we had moved new business up in the agenda to allow sort of the flow of conversation as it relates to council minutes or council meetings and our standing agenda to have public comment first on not being voted on, then have us have a chance to have a discussion about it. Tonight, given that I think there's conversations, questions that I want to ask and get to city business first. So I guess the long and short of it is I think it's as needed, and tonight would be a good example of when I would prefer we get through council business first, given that I would say with confidence we're going to be here for a while. So I'd rather vote on what we need to first and then go from there.
I agree. I mean, I'll just add that I think this is in the interest of making sure that everybody is heard. We have been in scenarios where we've had to rush on things that are on the agenda. We will move through the full agenda and move through full public comment, giving every member of the public their full 5 minutes to speak their mind, and we look forward to that.
Any other discussion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Nay.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. So passes 5-1. Public comment for anything not being voted on this evening will just be moved to the end of the meeting, then I'll go through the list of those who have signed up. Moving on to public comment for anything that is being voted on tonight, since this is any ordinance or resolution. Oh, pardon. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Jumping around a little bit. Before we get to public comment, moving on to approval of the minutes for the June 3rd, 2025 meeting. Any discussion on the minutes from our June 3rd meeting? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved. Thank you again. 3A will be moved to later on the agenda. 3B, this is part of any ordinance that is being voted on, a resolution tonight. I remind everyone we have a 5-minute time limit. So throughout public comment tonight, I will ask everyone to remind you politely to please respect the 5-minute time limit, as we do have a long list of people who'd like to speak tonight. So we have one person signed up, Doug Royston. Ms. Royston?
Hi, my name is Doug Royston, 421 Second Avenue in Bethlehem. And I want to speak. I had the chance to speak a little bit about Sand Island, which I'm pretty excited that you have are going to vote on supporting a $30,000 grant to beautify Sand Island, or exactly, I'm not exactly sure what you're going to do with it, but I wanted to first of all support it. I did not come here to talk about the ice house tonight, although we are up to 250 to 300 shows a year, and we are about to put a beautiful set of planters and benches in front of the ice house. And I didn't come here to talk about the pedestrian bridge, although I could spend about 20 minutes doing that.
It's not on the agenda tonight, Ms. Royce.
Thank you. I am here to talk about just some notes about Sand Island, a place that I'm actually about to run over and have a meeting at in about 2 minutes, but a place that I have spent a lot of time at. I think that there is quite a bit of talk going around, and I found that this grant kind of wedged in and fit into the interest that is going on around Sand Island. I think that the thing that I would emphasize is that there is a growingly larger picture of what Sand Island is and what Sand Island can be. And the big question is exactly that. As we go into the future, as we address an unlimited, unending parking situation, an unending car situation, our parks, as this council has recognized, become more and more important. Sand Island is off and on referred to as Central Park, and I think there's a good reason for that. If you make a list of the different people involved there and the different activities involved there, from fishing to theater to hiking to biking, you will get a sense of a whole that is rising in Sand Island. So in conclusion, what my suggestion is what I hope is that as you address Sand Island over the years, I would hope that you asked a lot of people their opinion. Not simply park people, but there's fisher people, and there's fishermen and fisherwomen, there are historians, and there are musicians, and there are actors. There are bikers, and there are walkers. I can go on and on, but to get the real picture of Sand Island, it would be wonderful if you took all those different people seriously and knocked on their doors. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. So there was no one else who had signed up for anything that we're voting on tonight. Is there anyone else who wants to make comment on anything that's actually on the agenda? Mr. Irons?
My name is John Irons, 1204 West Market Street. Since you voted on a motion that was not on the agenda, is it appropriate to make comment on a motion that was voted on tonight during comment period for things that are being voted on?
No. This would be for any resolution or ordinance, Mr. Irons. Is there anyone else who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight, resolution or ordinance? We're going to continue on with the here in the front.
If it's regarding the fire chief, is that appropriate to speak now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to do my best not to cry. I make no promises. My name is Kelly Burfield, and I'm from 1917 Paul Avenue, formerly of 1404 West North Street. I said I've been doing promises. Tonight I'm here to speak in full support of Captain Griffin's appointment to fire chief. On March 9th, I experienced what I hope is the last fire of my life. At 3:30 in the morning, I stood on the sidewalk of West North Street with my 7-year-old daughter, holding her hand, watching the home that we built burn, the house that I brought her home to, the house that she took her first steps in. If I close my eyes today, I can still see the firefighters in my kitchen through the broken window, headlamps shining through the thick smoke, water spraying on the roof, and the sound of the saw cutting through my roof. It was traumatic, to say the least. About 6 hours later, I spoke to Captain Griffin on the phone for the first time. 12 hours later, I spoke to him as I returned to my home. I was exhausted, shaken, confused, and filled with questions. His calm presence and quiet professionalism stood out immediately. When I stepped back into my home for the first time, I was paralyzed by the destruction. I could not move, I could not speak, I could not breathe. Captain Griffin did not pressure or prod. He simply placed his hand on my shoulder. He said, "Let's get you outside. There's a lot of carcinogens in here." He gently walked me outside and began talking, not as an investigator, but as a human being. I'm so sorry. His leadership is what we need as the next fire chief, someone who leads by example, teaches others to meet tragedy, not just with training, but with compassion. Captain Griffin didn't just explain the next steps of the fire investigation. He took time to educate me in a way that actually I was able to absorb in a moment where I was overwhelmed. He made sure that I understood that both his department and the insurance company were going to conduct independent origination and cause investigations, and that their findings had to be objective and evidence-based. He also explained to me that he could not share the preliminary conclusions with me because I could unintentionally share something with my insurance company that could influence the process and jeopardize the integrity of both investigations. His professionalism and transparency builds trust. He also helped me avoid a major insurance and liability issue. My insurance broker has never had a major fire claim. He said no adjuster would be available until Monday. Captain Griffin could have simply turned the property over to me and moved on, but instead he encouraged me to press my insurance company for a preferred vendor immediately, because it was the right thing to do. Firefighting is a job where there's no margin for error. What impressed me most about Captain Griffin was not only his technical knowledge, which is substantial, but his empathy, his clarity, and his professionalism during one of the worst moments of my life. What I've come to understand about the role of fire chief is that it requires a blend of strategic leadership, operational command, public safety knowledge, and perhaps most importantly, human compassion. It's not just about directing fires, it's about setting the tone for how a department treats people, both inside the ranks and in the community. Bethlehem is fortunate to have a fire department that already performs with excellence. They're amazing. Promoting someone who can elevate that standard even further, who can lead with both strength and heart, will benefit each and every one of us. I want to take a moment to thank Captain Griffin, every firefighter, every police officer, every emergency and medical responder who came to my house at 3 a.m. that morning. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for your bravery, your professionalism, your service to the city, the community, and my family. Being here tonight is just one small way I can express my gratitude to Captain Griffin. He showed up for me, so I wanted to show up for him. So I fully support him, and I hope you do as well. And I'm so sorry. I tried really hard. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You don't need to apologize. You didn't do anything wrong. Is there anyone else who wants to comment on anything that we're going to vote on tonight? Okay. So we're going to move on, and we'll go to public comment later in the meeting. Old business, any old business for members of council? All right, new business. Before I turn it, open it up to members of council, I think a lot of us are going to have questions related to the ICE raid. A lot of why members of the public are here tonight, so I did want to members of council give Mayor Reynolds and the police department, the solicitor, whoever else from administration, just wanted to kind of give any updates, then we'll open it up to questions from members of council.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely, and I can certainly review kind of like what happened and the order in which it happened, and also Captain Lechman is here, who was acting police chief this week as Chief Cott is out of the area this week, and Mr. Spurk is here as well to be able to answer any type of questions as far as you know, legality is concerned. But, you know, as we have said publicly before, that we include in our statements, that, you know, I got to City Hall last Wednesday, probably a little before 8 o'clock, and I got a phone call from somebody who was in South Bethlehem who kind of told me what was going on, and then I went downstairs at that point and, you know, went to find the police leadership to see what was going on and what they knew, and I actually was the one that broke the news to the deputy chief, who was unaware, as were, as was the Bethlehem Police Department. We made some phone calls and we determined that there was a courtesy phone call or a courtesy text, like, you know, a few minutes earlier, basically saying that the federal authorities were in Bethlehem over there. It was not described to us as far as what activities they were getting into, other than, and Captain can add to this, that they were interested in looking for somebody or some type of very vague thing that was probably, in hindsight, intentionally vague. As this process went on, I think that they were out of the area by about 8:15, 8:30. And, you know, one of the kind of things that I will say over and over again is the idea that, you know, the information and the questions that we had asked were, you know, we didn't necessarily get answers. And then, you know, we put out a first statement later on in the morning, basically relaying what we had just heard there. And then, you know, we followed up to ask questions of DHS and others as far as, you know, who, like, all of the questions that everybody still wants to know as far as, like, who was detained, why were they detained, were there warrants involved, and, you know, we have gotten no information and no answers. And the police department followed up the next day as well, asking the same questions, and as Mr. Spurk would tell you, there's no legal reason why that information needs to be shared. And I see Ms. Weber here from the morning call, and, you know, we weren't even told, I was told, and I was shared the news then after Ms. Weber called me and said that she had received something from ICE that said that 17 individuals had been detained. That was the way in which the city was kept in the loop as far as this situation was concerned. These issues across the country is pulling people from other law enforcement agencies on the federal level. So, I mean, whether or not it's human trafficking or whatever it might be, like, there are other, you know, county-wide kind of task force, you know, at Music Fest, we bring people in from the FBI and so on and so forth. So somebody then had the phone call or the text message that said, like, we are here. The person with the Bethlehem Police Department knows that that person works with them because of previous, you know, previous awareness of it and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So I have a couple of questions, comments before I'll turn it back over. And thank you, everybody, members of council hall. Again, we'll continue the conversation. Other questions arise. So just going back to the initial morning, right, and I appreciate you walking us through the timeline, Mayor Reynolds. As it relates to these federal agencies, we'll talk about Department of Homeland Security specifically, because it's not like here, right, where you go, okay, I live in Bethlehem, council meets first and third Tuesday of every month, I could go down to City Hall. There's a certain sense of, like, these are anonymous agencies, or there's no door we could go knock on, or someone to call, put face that we could put to it. With Department of Homeland Security in general, as we reach out to questions and who was it, what was going on, how do we know? Do we have a contact person, or part of it just figuring out even what field office to reach out to? I mean, I don't know, and you don't have to get in detail other than, are those relationships already established prior to last week, or is it that much chaos that sort of, okay, let's try this number, or call this field office, or call this regional director and see where we go?
And we do have some individual contacts with most agencies that we can reach out to pretty quickly to try and make those verifications. So,
and then as it relates to those individual contacts, is that information public, meaning information we're able to share as a city, because people, you know, you would think would call us first with questions. Let's say it's, you know, someone doesn't come home from work that day and their family's calling. First call is probably going to be to the police, you know, we'd hope. And then we say we don't have any information. We can't confirm or deny if your loved one was part of this raid in South Bethlehem. Are we able to give them an avenue to at least attempt to get numbers. I'm not saying we'd share the, obviously, the if it's a confidential line or something like that, but do we at least try to, even if it's a failed effort, help people find a direction to go in to get answers that we might not have?
Yeah, that would absolutely be something we would help anybody out with, is providing a public contact phone number for them.
Yeah. And then without calling the Bethlehem Police or City Hall, how do we even find this information? Like, I haven't gone on websites. Do you go on Department of Homeland Security and then it's put in your zip code and there's a regional office to call? Or is there an easy way for people that are trying to get information as it relates to, 17 people who we don't know where they resided, but let's say even three of them lived in Bethlehem, then that's three people who didn't come home from work that day. If someone maybe doesn't want to call the police or trying, is there information out there for people to get without having to go through all these avenues with local agencies that aren't even involved in the operation?
I haven't done the research myself, so I'm not sure what the agency websites, what type of information is available there. So.
Understood. I think that's part of the frustration when you hear, we reach out, we try to get answers. Best we could do is say reach out to the agency that was involved, of course, because we're not going to have that. And then members of the public, at least a few that have communicated, kind of feel, well, we don't even know who to call. And that's no fault of anyone in this room. It's sort of the vague operation and, again, that anonymous federal government and Department of Homeland Security that's showing up. And Mr. Callahan had asked the question, but I just want to, again, going back to that morning, so there is a process to, so when we were notified as a department, they're just notifying someone, an officer that they had an established relationship with, not necessarily the command staff or anything like that, or so it's just, and that was as a truly a courtesy and nothing more to it. Where were they at in their operation by that time? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. They were either already there or just pulling up, I believe was the timeline. So
understood. And there's a lot of frustration from a lot of people, which I'm sure everyone shares, that creates such an inherent danger here in the city when you have people who maybe, and I just saw some social media posts, so I'm not going to pretend to know all the ins and outs of what went on, but there's a concern, as we've seen other videos nationwide, that the mayor referenced people in plain clothes, people hiding their faces, people bearing firearms, people announcing themselves as something that maybe they're not. And then these agencies, even if they're acting in official capacity, given their duties, are not acting responsibly and giving us a courtesy heads up so that we can at least be prepared so when those calls come in to know what to do. Because it's just a matter of time before something happens where people rightfully are kind of confronting anonymous figures with questions and then are maybe getting pushback that's not welcome. And then you call, what do we do? What are we told to do growing up when we're in trouble? Call 911. And then we call 911. So it's not a criticism of anything here at City Hall. I want to make that clear. It's just what we're dealing with in the reality with this outside agency, the federal government, Department of Homeland Security, that this reckless use of their authority without including the local members of city law enforcement who know the community, and not only that, who people know, to at least, if not agree with, and this isn't about agreeing with, recognize, okay, there's a Bethlehem police officer here. I at least know this is some kind of, something official is going on, and not just a bus with ABC transportation on the side of it and a bunch of plain clothes people yelling orders at folks that are going about their work day.
And I would just add, Michael, that with respect, the opaqueness of not letting us know is minuscule compared to the opaqueness of what is happening to these individuals that are being detained. Some of whom across the country are being detained and are here with all of their paperwork, with every T crossed and every I dotted. They just might not have had it with them when they were working at these sites. And then their redress as far as maybe or maybe not getting their own due process rights as far as a lawyer is concerned or whatever it might be. As I said, it is an American tragedy what is going on as far as people that showed up to work a 10, 11, 12 hours day in 95 degree heat to clean a building for relatively wealthy people to come back and live there. And the idea that like they're not letting us know is obviously a problem, but it is a much, much bigger problem that these individuals, these Americans, are not getting access to everything else that people are supposed to have in this country that are included in their own due process rights, and as far as, from what has been reported, access to be able, attorneys, and so on and so forth.
I don't disagree to Mayor Ronald. I'll ask, has anyone reached out to us from the community, whether it be an individual who was detained, a family member who was detained, have we been given any insight outside of the Department of Homeland Security to who may have been involved in it? Can we identify anyone who was involved in this raid? I mean, I'm not asking for names, just do we at least, have we been, as the community, come forward to the police department to just help sort of identify some of those folks so that we have some insight to what happened? Or are they just 17 anonymous individuals?
I think that that's probably a better question left unanswered.
Understood. I respect that. Those are the only questions I have for now. Members of council, do anyone have any follow-up questions? Councilwoman Leah?
Sorry, I think this might be the same question we stated, so forgive me if it is. But I wasn't following too well. At the end of the day, we have 17 of our community members that are missing, and through phone calls, I've been able to track for about 4. But that's phone calls to, like, people within the community. So maybe this is more a question about political experience that I lack. Who do we call? If council can't fix this, if a mayor can't fix it, is it Congress? Is it Senate? Is it state reps? Who are we pointing people to call and say 17 people are missing? Can we find them?
I think, as I've said over the past couple days, is that the executive branch is clearly, I mean, they've talked openly about the words quotas and things like that. We are not getting necessarily, I'm just saying this as an observer, as someone watching, you are not seeing pushback from the legislative branch, and there have been different, you know, cases working through the courts where, as we have hoped and seen over the past 250 years, that the courts continue to hold, like the Constitution. And it is understandably a unsettling time in American history. But it is not just the executive branch. And if we want to be completely honest, like, there's tens of millions of people in this country that think what's going on right now is good. And until we find a way to build a different culture where everybody's angry is probably about 98% of the people in this room, you're not going to see the political pressure put on these people that are elected officials to try to utilize their constitutional power to be able to stop this. I mean, the Constitution was built this way, to be able to have other branches be able to put pressure when Americans feel like something was going on. And I don't want to be cold and callous about that, but the fact that there's not more pressure and there's not more pressure being put is because a lot of people agree with what's going on.
Any other questions or comments from Mr. Callahan?
I just want to add to the comment that the mayor made about the workers down there. My son, Cody, was on the fifth floor there. And I helped him go down there on 3 different days and move out of there. And what those workers are dealing with is incredible. There's no air conditioning. I'm 62 years old. I walked up down those steps 5-6 times. I was done. I couldn't do it anymore. I had to call some football players from Freedom High School and pay them and help my kid move. And those workers down there were just busting their asses, helping people out with masks on. And then all of you know from when COVID hit how hard it is to breathe when you have a mask on. Well, try that in 90 degree temperature and in a building with no air conditioning and no elevators. And, I mean, they were extremely hard workers. And it's a damn shame what's going on in our country now. As Mayor Reynolds said, there's nothing, you know, I'm sure I speak for everybody up here in the administration. No one is agreeing or liking what's going on over or in our country now. And I think it's a damn shame that there aren't people in the Senate in the House that are pushing back on the administration on what's going on in our country. But we don't control the House or the Senate or the presidency right now. And that is why it's so important, especially in the midterms coming up, that everybody use the power that you have and the anger that you have right now to get out there and get people to vote. Because the only way things are going to change is by taking over a House member, and take over the House and take over the Senate. Because we have 3 more years of this president doing what he's doing right now. And, you know, I find it amazing that in the 1880s, when the Germans came over, I think we had Ellis Island, and it was a great thing for America. And then 20, 30 years later, the Irish came over, and it was a great thing for America. And 20 or 30 years after that, the Italians came over, and it was a great thing for America. And then the immigration system got shut down over the years, and it's put in enormous pressure on this system, and where now there's brown people coming over, and all of a sudden it's a problem. And that's a shame that we have people in this country that are looking at it like that, because they're afraid of losing power. And I think what we need is a total change in our country, and we need to have an Ellis Island type situation, facility, on the southern border, every one of the southern states, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. People show up, sign your name, come back 2 weeks later after the criminal history check. If you're clean, you should come in. And that's just my opinion. But there's nothing no one in the city is going to be able to do to help the situation. I have had a lot of disagreements with the mayor over the years, but I can tell you right now that he's doing everything that he can and that he can legally do, and our police department can legally do, but there's all those things that we can't do. So I just want to thank all of you for coming here tonight. Thank you.
Anything else from members of council? I just had a quick question as it relates to kind of the events that followed after that, community organized events, rallies, things like that. Typically, in general, pretty good communication between City Hall and whether it be the organizers of those events, attendees. I know council members routinely attend, mayor, members of the administration routinely attend, but is there some, I guess it's more of a security concern as we move forward and we have large gatherings and who knows who's going to start coming out to showing up to some of these events. Just are they, do we typically have fair awareness of when these gatherings are going to be going on?
I would say yes, and I would say the ones that have occurred over the past week, and I don't want to speak for the permittees on the other side because I can't speak to their experience, but from our side, it was perfect as far as the organization, as far as letting people know, as far as trying to stay on the sidewalk, all those type of things. I think that we obviously spend a lot of time wanting to make sure that everybody is safe there, and also it's not an us against, not that you're implying this, it's not an us against them. Like, we just look around the country at the political violence that is going on, and we do not want to see, we want people to be able to protest peacefully, etc. And what went on Saturday and also what went on Thursday, I think from the city's point of view, is like the individuals that helped to organize those, I thought did a great job, and we thought did a great job, and there was nothing there that we would look at as far as like we wish they did something differently. We can only hope. Like, it's like, you know, I can't tell you I'm respecting you. You have to tell me that you feel respected. So I can't speak for you know, all of the permittees. We heard from one of them today that was particularly happy with the organization, but that was that's a situation that our police and our emergency personnel spend a lot of time, and we talk to. And Ms. Potts, who's our kind of permit coordinator.
Account number 69000-662053. Leaf Collector Public Works will receive the $13,940
and will increase from zero to $13,940. And account number 69999-662053, Leaf Collector Public Works, will increase from zero to $125,460. The adjustment will increase the non-utility capital fund budget from $27,566,381 to $27,691,841.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Ordinance 9A is on the agenda. 6J.
A May 29th, 2025 memorandum with a proposed ordinance from Public Works Director Michael Alcall recommending a budget adjustment to the general fund. The adjustment reflects the Bethlehem Parking Authority's funding of $140,000 for the replacement of 51 light poles. For revenue account number 001A-30713, Bethlehem Parking Authority will increase from $300,000 to $440,000. For expenses account number 0505-42041B, street light repair replacement will increase from $211,500 to $351,500. The adjustment will increase the general fund budget from $113,239,162 to $113,379,162.
Ordinance 9B is on the agenda. Moving on to reports. Just have one thing to report. We're going to have a police pension board appeal hearing. That'll be council here in town hall on June 24th at 6 p.m. That's a public hearing. And then, yeah, that'll be June 24th at 6 p.m., 1 week from today. There's potential, we're still coordinating certain things. Should the meeting need to be rescheduled or canceled, it'll be posted on the city website as we're still hammering out just one finalization. But that's the working date right now for the meeting. That was all I had to report, Mr. Mayor.
I'll start with the administrative orders. First, before I read the first one, we had notified City Council, I believe, a couple weeks ago, that our fantastic fire chief, Chief Reich, is retiring. Obviously, you know, we think he has done just a fantastic job. He is retiring. If he chooses to tell his own story, he can tell his own story, but we are obviously, you know, sad to see him go, but also incredibly appreciative and grateful for over two decades of service. And over the past year, really doing a lot, whether or not it was helping us to, you know, create the second fire academy, so we were able to send more firefighters to get them back on the line. And I can't say thank you enough to the fantastic job that Chief Reich has done. His last day is July 3rd, I believe. So right in time to hand it off to soon-to-be Chief Griffin for July 4th as his first day of work. You know, he is Captain Griffin for the next couple of moments, and I believe he is here. The captain would like to just for a minute or two here introduce himself to City Council. You obviously had a fantastic introduction before, but I want to give you just kind of 2 minutes here to introduce yourself before we vote.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Matthew Griffin. I've been a City of Bethlehem firefighter for just over 19 years. I'm very thankful for the opportunity that being a firefighter in the City of Bethlehem has provided myself and my family. I consider myself very fortunate to be a member of this organization, and I'm extremely proud and honored to stand before you today and to have been nominated as the next fire chief for the city. I currently hold the rank of captain. Among other duties and responsibilities, my main responsibility has been to train and hire the new recruits, 28 of which in the last 2 years we have entered into the Fire Academy, and we placed our last four in the Fire Academy this Monday. They'll graduate in 22 weeks. I'm currently a state certified fire instructor. In the past, I've been an adjunct faculty member at Northampton Community College in the Emergency Service Program. I'm a certified fire investigator and a fire inspector. I have also recently completed my course requirements to obtain my Emergency Management Coordinator Associate Coordinator Certification, which is one of the requirements here in the City of Bethlehem. I am a graduate of the University of New Haven. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Fire and Arson Investigation with a minor in criminal justice, and also an associate's degree from Northampton Community College in Emergency Services Technology. I stand before you today because I look forward and I want to continue the positive working relationship with you, the members of council, the city administration, and Local 735, so that together we can all continue to better serve the residents and visitors of our great city. I would also like to congratulate Chief Reich on his retirement. Chief Reich has been a great mentor over the last 20 years. I worked with the chief on my very first shift in the fire department, and I am very sorry to see him go. He has done amazing things for this department in the short time he has been chief, and I hope to be able to be the person who carries on that legacy. Kelly, I thank you so much for coming out tonight. I don't even know what to say. I'm going to try not to get choked up. It's not often that we know and understand the impact that our job has on others. You know, somebody who suffered such a great loss several months ago, I can't believe you're here tonight, and I really, really appreciate that. That means a lot.
I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. And I would say that that day, actually, a couple months ago, when, you know, Kelly was there at the fire, you know, I was actually out that day. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I remember I was out there actually knocking on doors and talking to people, and Ms. Collins was a couple of blocks away in another part of the neighborhood. And when we got there, you know, I had said something to Kelly about being available, and I gave her my phone number and things like that, and it was clear that even by that point, in the minimal amount of time she had spent with our fire department and Captain Griffin, that she knew that she had complete confidence in them in a way that was obviously, I have to imagine, one of the more difficult moments of Kelly's life. But at the same time, it was one of those moments that makes you proud because you understand just how dedicated our first responders are. And this is a Sunday afternoon. And it was clear that the firefighters there had spent a lot of time there, and Captain Griffin was leading the way. And I do think it's a great microcosm for the man that's going to take over the big shoes to fill from Chief Reich. So thank you, Captain.
Thank you, sir.
We will, Chief Reich's technical last meeting will be the first meeting in July, July 1st, so we will be able to give him his proper send-off at that point. But I hereby appoint Matthew J. Griffin of 349 Birch Drive, Nazareth, Pennsylvania, 18064, to the position of Fire Chief and Emergency Management Coordinator. This appointment is effective as of July 4th, 2025.
Administrative order appointing Matthew J. Griffin, Fire Chief and Emergency Management Coordinator. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Start with Councilwoman Wilhelm.
I really just want to add my thanks to you, Chief Reich. In the short time that you've been chief, you have seen the city through major transition and tragedy as well, certainly, and your leadership has been a great comfort to many. Certainly wish you well in your retirement, but I want you to know how grateful we are to you. And Captain Griffin, I can't imagine a better endorsement than the one you received from Ms. Burfield this evening, and I will look forward to supporting this appointment with my vote. Thank you.
Councilwoman Cramsey, sir.
I just want to say also thank you to Chief Wright for all you've done. You've just been awesome to work with, and I know the department really has been grateful for your service and your leadership, and I wish you all the best in your retirement. And it's unfortunate we're losing you, but fortunate that we're gaining Captain, soon to be Chief Griffin now. And if you're half as awesome as your better half, then we're in good shape. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Councilwoman?
Just really excited to take this vote. It's really a thing to leave him with January or July 4th. That's a take, Captain, but we'll miss you. You've been great.
Any other discussion? Mr. Callan?
I just want to echo whatever you said. Chief Wright, thank you for your service at the city. I really appreciate everything you did, especially you know, at the 510 Flats building a month ago. So I know it was a very difficult day for everybody, but I want to thank you for your guidance. And Captain Griffin, good luck with everything. If you have anything, I'm sure everybody here on council will be on phone call from you, whatever, so if you need anything, let me know. I appreciate it. Thank you, and good luck.
Any other discussion? Congratulations, Chief Wright. Good luck, Captain Griffin.
Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 6-0.
Second Administrative Order, I hereby appoint Isis Irizarry Negron of 410 William Street, Apartment 202, Bethlehem, PA 18018, to membership on the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. This appointment is effective through March 2028.
Administrative Order appointing Isis M. Irizarry Negron to the Human Relations Commission. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 6-0.
And then just two other quick updates. On June 6th, I want to thank everybody on City Council that was able to attend our Pride flag raising. This was the fourth year the city has done it. I think it was probably the biggest crowd we have had yet. And I truly appreciate it, as well as our partnership with Bradbury Sullivan and Ms. Santoro, who helped to organize and put it together. It was another one of those moments where you realize how fortunate we are to live in such an inclusive community. And then just finally, last week was obviously, there was a lot going on, but on the positive side, city was awarded $1.4 million for our partnership with Lehigh Conference of Churches for what is going to be the Lehigh Valley's first non-congregant homeless shelter on Packer Avenue, which is going to be 11 family units. We had previously been awarded a few years ago home ARP dollars. And this was working with Governor Shapiro and his administration. I believe there were 20 awards, and Bethlehem was the only city on this list. And a lot of counties, but we were the only city. And I really want to give a shout out to Ms. Collins and Ms. Cetullo, who worked on this application for these dollars. Because the reason why we were able to get this funded was that it was data-driven, it was a shovel-ready project that they, the DCED in the state has a high degree of confidence in our ability to be able to move through all of the complicated regulations that often happen with these, and also plan for operations moving forward. And it's really a big deal. In that it's going to be, and like I said, we talked about this project before. Lehigh Conference of Churches owns the building. It needed substantial work. So now we are going to go through all of those things you have to do when you get the state and federal grants, as far as the environmental reviews and things like that. But our hope is that in about, once we do that and we can put it out to bid and construction and all that stuff, that always takes longer than you wish you would if you didn't have to deal with the government regulations, that at some point in 2027, it should be able to open. So we are excited about that, and once again, that's a big deal. It's $1.4 million, and like I said, it's 11 family units in what's going to be the Lehigh Valley's first non-congregate shelter. And it's like I said, it's we'll be hearing more about that as we move forward. But I would just finish by, it's success is often a grind here, especially as far as acquiring funds. But City Council has been a wonderful partner in understanding that, you don't put together capital sources all in one day. It sometimes takes time. We often go with a combination of, like, we're going to do the engineering here and things like that, but it comes from a very sophisticated place to be able to win these competitive grants. And I just want to thank everybody for that. And this is one of those projects that is going to help people for a long time and help our most vulnerable families for a long time. And right now, the building is vacant, and there's nobody in there. And it is a property that could be being used to help people and shelter people. And now we're going to be able to do that. And I just want to say thank you. And that's I will end my report with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Councilwoman Quiatek.
Thank you. The Community Development Committee met this evening at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee discussed one agenda item, the 2025 Fair Hearing Report. The committee held the annual Financial Accountability Incentive Reporting Hearing required by Article 349 and reviewed economic development incentive reports submitted by the administration. The meeting was for informational purposes only, and no actions were taken. Hillary G. Kwiatek, Chairperson, Community Development Committee.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Moving on, we don't have any ordinances for final passage tonight, so new ordinances, Mr. Miller, Bill 31, 2025.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2025 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 31, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Clancy Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Clancy Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 32, 2025.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund for 2025. Bill number 32, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Clancy Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Clancy Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving on to resolutions, 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with J. Owen Bradley Construction Company Incorporated to provide materials and labor to replace a section of water main along East Garrison Street between High and Linden Streets. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Clancy Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Council?
Thank you. Mr. Buscola, are you the right person to ask a question about this project? Thank you. So my question is really about the timing of the project itself. As you know, the folks on East Garrison Street are kind of going through it with the Friendship Park project, taking up a lot of, you know, the space, and it's an extremely narrow street, as you also know. It sounds like this really needs to get done. This pipe is a big problem. But I'm just wondering what the coordination is between the construction of Ranger Park and the work on East Garrison.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why we're doing this, is to push it through, get it approved, get the contract out, and get it done while they're doing the park. So we get all the construction done at once and get it done.
So it's better to rip off the Band-Aid and that's the determination? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you're going to get agreement from the neighbors, but good luck with that. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Clancy Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Before we continue, if there's anyone in the hall who wanted a seat, there are some open seats here inside the room. I know there's at least someone I see. It's up to you, but there are seats scattered around if you wanted to come and sit down. Resolution 10B, please.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Bedco to carry out programs and activities as assigned in connection with execution of city-sponsored events. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Clancy Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Clancy Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce to provide marketing and public relations service to the city through its management and operation of Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Clancy Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Collins, got a second. So is this money all being used in for the City of Bethlehem, or is it going to the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce for activities throughout the whole Lehigh Valley, or is it just for Bethlehem issues?
No, it's just specific to Bethlehem.
And how do we know that all this money is going to be used for just the City of Bethlehem?
So we've had this contract or some similar version of it for probably
20 years.
20 years, 4 or 5 administrations. And so we have a great working relationship with the chamber. We work directly through my office in Community Economic Development with the Bethlehem Chamber. They report out on each of the items that are listed in the contract. So you'll see that the overall contract includes administration of the Bethlehem Chamber, activities and initiatives associated with the Bethlehem Marketing Council. There's a DBA component of that as well. And then integration or execution of city-sponsored events. That's new activities such as Live in the Garden that we've added in more recent years. So, you know, they invoice us, we review all their invoices for specific elements like the Bethlehem Marketing Council. You know, we have separate budgets for that piece of the contract specifically. So it's pretty well monitored in that regard.
Good. Yeah, I just want to make sure. I know there's, you know, with some of the changes that are going on with the DBA and, you know, as you know, there's people out there that don't agree with it. And so make sure that this money's being used in the city of Bethlehem and not outside of it. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other discussion? Councilwoman Francisco.
Yeah, I just have a question. Is this the same amount that we allocated in the budget for the chamber, or is this additional monies? Because I know we allocated about this same amount that we in the budget.
Correct, yes.
So is this the same? It was not additional?
It is not additional.
No, it's the same that we already have in the budget for this year.
Correct, yeah. Every year, because this contract is so regular, and you know, it's included in the budget, you're used to seeing it in a budget, but we also have to do just the contractual process every year as well, but there's no budget adjustment needed.
Okay, and it does say it's gonna be the integration of the DBA and the chamber. So is there, I mean, I'm assuming the city's in favor of that, is there
We've taken no position on it. So this is the same language that has been in this contract, and it's actually the DBA and the Bethlehem Marketing Council, so it's just the coordination of all of those activities is how we have traditionally year over year, despite what their internal structure is. That's just how we've described kind
so
of
it's
the,
always
the
said.
Coordination of their activities. Yeah,
okay.
That has absolutely nothing to do with.
I guess I read it as integrating the DBA and the chamber together. But that's not what it means. Okay,
correct.
All right, thank you.
And just to add to that, not to pick words with the person that went to law school since I did not, but it's not just that we didn't take a position, but we are actively neutral in whatever happens there as far as the DBA and chamber is concerned. As far as like whatever they decide to do, however that decides to go down, we are staying out of that conversation. We just want it to be settled in a manner that will allow for some coordinated planning going forward. But it's not, we are actively and openly staying out of the whatever the decision making. That's a decision for their own board and those own businesses to make.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for Music Fest 2025 through 2030. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion?
Yes, President Colon, because of my own involvement in Music Fest, I'm going to be recusing myself from this vote.
Okay, thank you, Councilwoman. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Recuse.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0 with one member recusing. 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Hanover Engineering Associates Incorporated to provide on-call design support services for in-house stormwater design projects. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. 10F.
Be it resolved that the members of City Council of the City of Bethlehem affirm the principle that increasing the minimum wage in Pennsylvania is imperative and support the passage of legislation by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania legislators and governor to increase the minimum wage immediately, and be it further resolved that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem now calls on the Pennsylvania legislature to approve House Bill 1150 as proposed by Representative Ronnie Green to raise the hourly minimum wage in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to $15. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Councilwoman?
Thank you. Since I proposed this resolution, I guess I just want to give a little more information that House Bill 1150 has passed through the House and now is at the Senate. And as we all know, the minimum wage has not been raised since 2009, which is 16 years. And at the rate of the minimum wage right now of $7.25, the monthly salary of someone making that wage would be $1,160, which we all know is not nearly enough to afford housing in Bethlehem, let alone utilities and food and et cetera. This has been an ongoing fight in Harrisburg to try to raise the minimum wage, but once again, it's out there on the block. It's going to go to Senate. What will happen is if it does pass, it will raise the minimum wage. It says to $15 an hour, but the House Democrat have to compromise so that they can try to get the Senate Republicans who have the majority to pass this bill. So basically, it's going to depend on the county in which you live in. So Pennsylvania will raise this minimum wage to $15 an hour in 20 of the counties and to $10, $11, and $12 in the rest of the counties. However, there will be a cost of living adjustment annually that will be calculated using the Consumer Price Index. For our county, the agreement would be that the minimum wage would go to $11 starting immediately after the bill is enacted, but then again, it will be incrementally raised every year thereafter. So hopefully everyone agrees that it's really vital that we push the Senate with this resolution that we support them raising the minimum wage. Thank you.
Discussion from members of council. Councilwoman Wilhelm.
I just wanted to add, I think we all agree it's long overdue that we support a fair living wage in Pennsylvania, but I think why it's in particular relevant and important to voice our support at the city level is that this bill enables municipalities the power to enact their own minimum wages, provided it doesn't go below what is set. And I think giving us the power to address economic conditions and cost of living in our community is really important. And I'll be pleased to support this resolution tonight.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Excuse me. 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor is authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a People, Parks, and Community Foundation grant through the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources for the beautification of Sand Island Park, and that the mayor is authorized to execute such other agreements and documents as are deemed to be necessary and or related thereto. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Council?
I really wanted to underscore and echo what Mr. Roizen came here to say and voice my strong support for this grant and my best wishes and hopes that we are granted this money. Sand Island is so many wonderful things. It's a canal path connector, an intergenerational fishing spot, as Mr. Roizen said, a vibrant performing arts venue for local artists, basketball, green space, playground, and a rare chance to be close to the Lehigh River, which honestly, you know, in many cases we view often as more of an obstacle than an asset. And it's wonderful as it is, but there's so much more potential there. As Mr. Royston said, I think Sand Island is about as much of a central park as a park in Bethlehem can be, having spoken with folks who were born and raised on North and South Side who talk about, you know, gathering there. So I'm excited to see Sand Island come closer and closer to its potential to be an extraordinary natural gathering place for all residents of Bethlehem. And again, I look forward to supporting this with my vote tonight.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passed 6-0. And our final resolution, 10-H.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 522 Center Street to paint shutters, door, flower boxes, and all wood trim. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Thank you. So that concludes everything we're voting on. As we had motion to do earlier, we'll now go to public comment. This is for anything that's not being voted on this evening. So just for quickly, briefly, for anyone who's typically not at council meetings, we do have a sign-up sheet. I'll go through the sign-up sheet in order of everyone who has signed up. As I had mentioned earlier, we do have a five-minute time limit. Given that we have about 25 people signed up to speak, I will ask everyone to respectfully abide by the five-minute time limit. Anyone can speak on anything they choose to, and then everyone who had signed up will be given an opportunity to speak, and then I'll open it up to the room. If there's someone who didn't sign up in advance to the meeting but still wanted to make comment at that point, I'm just going to go around, and everybody will be given an opportunity. If anyone has to excuse themselves or go in and come out, I just ask that we do so quietly, members of council, members of the public, so that everyone who's at the lectern given their comment has an opportunity to address council. I will remind everyone this is a comment period. This is not a back and forth dialogue. So if someone has questions or wanted to speak to council, you're welcome to approach council after the meeting. I always remind everyone all of our emails are on the city website. Our city clerk here to my right is Mr. Miller. He can be reached for anything to council, and when the meeting adjourns, we'll all be here also. So with that being said, we'll go through the list as in the order. When you come to the lectern, if you don't mind giving your name for the minutes that Mr. Miller takes for the record that we document. And if I mispronounce anyone's name, I do apologize in advance. I'll start with Lily Flacor. Floor is yours.
Hello, my name is Lily Flager. I'm a student and research assistant at Lehigh University in South Bethlehem. I've been in this room once before, back in February, listening to friends, peers, neighbors, professors, dozens of people I'd never met before and haven't had the chance to meet since, listening to them talk before you with one shared goal: make Bethlehem safer for the most vulnerable people in our community. On the 17th of February, the mayor of Bethlehem put out a statement called Our Commitment to Remain an Inclusive and Welcoming Community. It's a good statement, it's well written. I'd encourage everyone to take a look at it when you get a chance. My assumption is it was in response to people like me in meetings like this. It basically says Bethlehem already has practices which make the city safer for immigrants, and so it's not necessary to formally codify anything at that time. Given what happened last Wednesday, I unfortunately to respectfully disagree with that conclusion. Last time I was here, one of the speakers read us all a poem. I enjoyed that poem so much, I'd like to read it again for everyone. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. That poem actually inspired me to write my own version. They're coming for the immigrants, and I'm speaking out immediately, even though I'm not an immigrant. And I'm not alone, because we all know that if we don't, there will always be another line. What happened on the 11th wasn't some terrifying news story from the other side of the country, or the next state over, or even from a neighboring city. This happened 5 minutes from my research lab. That's 5 minutes on foot, by the way. Walking. That's not a car distance. It's a 5-minute bike from here. You can see it from the plaza. They're coming for the immigrants. They came for our people, tearing them from their homes. Here, in Bethlehem, 17 workers repairing our businesses and rebuilding our homes were kidnapped. We have one name out of 17. There are 16 others we don't have. Councilwoman Leon might bring that number to 12 at best. The only reason that we have the name we do is because someone extremely brave showed up to the plaza outside this building last Thursday. She said his name through tears with a voice torn by grief and rage. A voice that was brave enough to do something. The other people showed up and were brave enough to do something. Cece Gerlach, an Allentown council member, a city with a codified welcoming ordinance. John Stratton, a church dean. Governor Shapiro, who wrote a statement. Every single person who showed up Thursday and every single person who showed up in this room are here to do something to protect our people and to ask you to do the same. Bethlehem needs proper writing and ordinances to protect our city, not just words in practice, official writing. We need to take action to protect our people, and last Wednesday proved that. My goal here isn't to bring up what happened last month or a few months ago in this room and say, haha, I told you so. It's to add my voice to the growing crowd saying we need to protect our people. It's to protect the people who are in danger, to urge you to look at the rest of the poem and realize it ends with you. The only question is if it ends on this line or the last one. One way or another, we are the end of First They Came. It's my belief that the heart of a city is its people, beautiful and vibrant. And now masked fascists are entering our city and kidnapping its people, our people, off the streets. I'm a chemical engineer, I'm not a doctor, so if anyone wants to jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, then please do so, but last I checked, we can't survive with half our heart ripped from our chest. We can't let fascists rip this city's heart out. It's time to end the poem. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Next speaker is Shay Sabel.
Good evening. Well, neighbors, it's happened. We all heard earlier tonight the mayor's brief update on what occurred last Wednesday morning. And as we all know, 17 individuals were taken from a work site at 510 Flats on the south side. They were there to begin their work day to repair the damages that resulted in an earlier fire. They were taken without any due process of law, which is a protected right of all individuals in this country, regardless of documented status. I'm here today to ask why the City of Bethlehem is declining to vote on a welcoming city ordinance to protect our undocumented residents. Is it because you think that by self-labeling as a welcoming city, Bethlehem will become a target for federal funding cuts or increased federal presence related to immigration? Well, that's happening anyway. Just like countless communities in, across our country, Bethlehem will be impacted by cuts to federal funding. And ICE is here too, knocking, or should I say, breaking down doors, fully masked, fully loaded, Gestapo-style raids. This is already what's happening here. Is it because city leadership believes our existing policies and practices are good enough? I can appreciate that the city doesn't participate in ICE's 287G program, that Bethlehem officers don't routinely inquire about immigration status, and that the mayor, back in February, expressed his faith in the city's law enforcement and legal teams. However, that's just not enough in today's environment. Faith is not enough. We need action. Is it because concerns that making Bethlehem a welcoming city would impact public safety? If so, you know, I point to several studies conducted by the Center for American Progress, the American Immigration Council, the National Immigration Law Center, University of New Mexico, which all indicate that there are no statistical relationships of an increase in crime rates that, with the implementation of any sanctuary policies. And frankly, equating immigration with criminality is wrong, both ethically and statistically. And for those community constituents that have said, you know, my grandparents or great-grandparents came here and they came here the legal way. Well, I didn't know what that means, right? I never came here as an immigrant. I don't know what they had to go through in Ellis Island. I certainly, you know, through my privilege, don't know what people have to go through today during that process. So I did a little bit of research, and just for the record, early 20th century immigration meant showing up at Ellis Island, similar to what Councilman said. Show up without, with or without paperwork. You didn't have to have anything with you. You showed up, you got a cursory medical examination, an interview by an inspector, who reviewed passenger manifests, and then you were sent on your way. It took about 3 to 5 hours. There were 2% of immigrants at Ellis Island that were denied entry. And you juxtapose that with today's affirmative asylum seekers process, extremely complicated, lengthy in comparison. At minimum, it's a few months. Ultimately, for most, it's a few years. For defensive asylum seekers, it's well over 4 years. So frankly, that argument comparing the two is not really relevant. In fact, many of the individuals that are being detained by ICE are having it happen as they show up for their immigration-related court dates, you know, the legal way. I ask you, fellow neighbors, humans, if you were in peril or economically downtrodden and looking for an opportunity to pull up your family out of a dire economic situation and have a chance at a better life, wouldn't you do it too? I know I would. These are not criminals. Being undocumented is a civil offense, and these are human beings, families, and children who are being treated like animals, manhandled, chased down, traumatized by this administration and their disgusting policies. They're attacking and punishing marginalized communities because they're an easy target. They are bullies, period, full stop. And if you think that they will stop with the undocumented, wake up day after day. We're seeing images and videos of undocumented legal immigrants and even American citizens being racially profiled and rounded up. Where there is a will, there is a way, and they will find a way legally or otherwise. An example of that, they found a way to fast track the persecuted South African asylum seekers. I mean, it's a joke. It's an actual joke. You know, we've seen this over and over again in the last few months, and I wish I could say that these are truly unprecedented times, but unfortunately, history has shown it's not. This is a full-on attack of marginalized and economically less powerful individuals who are being scapegoated as today's other. This is not new. The cruelty we are seeing before our own eyes, not in the history books,
is new.
Thank
you. I'm going to move on with the list. Sorry.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Did our next speaker signed up, Denise Cannell?
Hello, good evening. This is my first time attending a city council meeting, so I'm not too familiar with the schedule and the process of this meeting. I know this is for a public comment, and I wanted to speak on an ordinance that I'm not sure if it was passed in 2022, but this is on the topic of keeping backyard chickens. So when I talked to the city of Bethlehem, they said that I was not allowed to keep chickens in the backyard. But when I looked at the website, it said that an ordinance was published, or I'm not sure if it was just drafted. But I believe the ordinance is a thoughtful and balanced approach, and that, well, it says it allows up to 6 hens per household, no roosters, and includes clear rules like setbacks, coop placement in the rear yard, and a permit process. It even limits the number of permits to begin with, which shows a careful, measured rollout. This would give residents like me the chance to be more sustainable, providing fresh eggs for our families, reducing food waste, and even helping kids learn about responsibility and nature. Other cities across Pennsylvania and the U.S. have already done this successfully, and I believe Bethlehem can too. I hope you guys can support this ordinance and the residents who are already ready to follow the rules and do this the right way. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for your own reference, council had met about it a couple years ago and never fully passed council.
Okay. And how would I have to submit this for like the next council meeting, or
you can follow up with either city clerk Mr. Miller,
okay,
or myself via email, and I'll talk to you individually about it.
Thank you.
Welcome. Our next speaker, Artie Curtola.
Hi, I'm Artie Curtola, 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I like to say I am running as a write-in for the mayor of the city because I don't wish to be Democrat or Republican, because it appears that they're all going after each other's throats. I am running independently, so I may not get elected unless you really push for it. But anyway, upon the ICE situation, ICEE stands for is complete extermination of immigrants. I don't feel it should be. I don't feel we should have that happening, because this land is not your land. This land is not my land. This land is everybody's land. Every living creature should be here to live freely on this earth. We should have no borders. You should eliminate them. It's totally not right with God. Read your Bible and you'll know what I'm talking about. But I like to speak about planning an event for our city here that will outdo what was done in Washington, D.C. A parade for Veterans Day that will be competitive to our past Flag Day parade, honoring the 250 years that our U.S. Army was in existence. I'm not as close to as famous or as rich as our fearless leader. We're not supposed to mention names, so I'm not going to mention his name. But I feel that I can place an equal great event and parade for a fraction of the cost and raise money to help greatly put an end to the homeless veterans in our country and be the first string of great events and parades to help raise money for veterans in the Lehigh Valley. Approximately $45 million was spent on this one-time Flag Day parade event that lasted for approximately 1 hour. That money could have been used to help the homeless for years to come, to make a great motion picture to honor our 250th day of our United States Army. Money could have been made for years to come out of that movie or TV miniseries, and a percentage of all profits could be given to support our veterans, as should be for all motion pictures, TV productions, and large concerts made in our country. If someone makes a movie or TV miniseries, maybe they'll use some of this Flag Day parade footage and give a percentage of the profits to support our military veterans. Even though a good percentage of all profits and production costs for movies, television productions, and concerts go to the mob, organized crime may want to take a little less money or contribute like their hero Al Capone did. If a movie or TV miniseries would at some date be made on the U.S. Army from 1775 to now, I believe that it would be interesting enough that people would pay to sit and watch segments of the movie being made if they were visiting Tinseltown or wherever the shooting would take place. And be better to have that kind of shootings than what they have going on mostly now in our city of brotherly love and other cities. I personally feel that our fearless leaders' birthday was a way of laundering money. I personally feel that if he got all elected officials, if we get all elected officials together to tithe at least 10% of their annual income to the VA, that would have come to at least 25 to 45 million, with most of them being Christians and Jewish. According to the Bible, we're supposed to tithe at least 10% of our annual income anyway. I'm sure that the VA would have gotten many people and organizations to donate their time and money to make a great parade and day with a great memorial parade that would have lasted for over an hour. God bless you all.
Our next speaker this evening is Joe Daniel.
Hello, everyone. Joe Daniels, 829 Broadway. I was approached by a few people that wanted me to bring a couple things to your attention. Some issues and concerns that they have that they feel the city has either ignored or just neglected. The Elks Lounge or Lodge on Broadhead. They stated that they've made numerous complaints to the city regarding rodents, sewer rats to be specific. It was brought to the city's attention on more than three occasions and nothing has been done. So if someone could advise on who they could reach out to directly and an estimated time frame on a response would be greatly appreciated. Outside of that, next issue is parks. How we are very thankful for the mayor's 40 and 10. There's question on the prioritization of which parks are being tended to first. Specifically, this is for the south side of Bethlehem where these people have approached. And according to the 2020 census, 26.8% of Bethlehem's population resides on the south side of Bethlehem. As far as the parks are concerned, Josco Park is the only park on the south side with the pool. And again, 26.8% of Bethlehem's population resides on the south side. It also seems to be the smallest pool of them all. Salkin Park, which once had a pool, no longer does, and there's question as to why Salkin Park's pool can't be revitalized, renovated, whatever needs to be taken place there. Currently, it seems...
Before I get to my prepared speech, I do want to just say, quote, the most egregious thing I heard during your guys' discussion, and it was from you, Cologne. Quote, the larger community isn't coming to these council meetings, end quote. Yeah, no shit. You're silencing us.
You're silencing us,
and it's not a dialogue. This is quite literally political theater. Now listen to the language I'm using, because we must not minimize nor justify. We must recognize this for what it is, state violence. On June 11th, 17 people were abducted and trafficked by a paramilitary force operating with impunity, the terroristic modern-day Gestapo known as ICE and the ERO. 17 construction workers who were helping rebuild after the devastating 510 Flats fire on May 2nd. 17 human beings who are working tirelessly to rehouse the 135 displaced by that fire. It is self-evident that the individual perpetrators of this attack on our community are guilty of battery, kidnapping, and human trafficking. The Bethlehem Police Department said it had received a courtesy notice in the early morning Wednesday saying that the Department of Homeland Security agents were going to carry out an action and were actively looking for someone at the 500 block of East 3rd Street. But they did not participate in the federal immigration actions. Bethlehem PD may not have directly abducted these people, but this means they enabled, condoned, and allowed this class violence. The lack of accountability is appalling. This is the same rhetoric used by Washington to claim innocence of the genocide because they didn't launch the missiles massacring Palestinians, despite being the very officials arming the IOF with said missiles. This government has repeatedly ignored us, hushed us, and refused us when we propose legislation that prioritizes the working people of our community. They want to believe bad things won't happen only because it is not happening to them. In February 2024, Council promised to pass a ceasefire resolution. They lied and ignored our cries and pleas for action. The city on the Hill did absolutely nothing. In the following March meetings, specific members of council attempted to silence our voices by trying to pass legislation preventing people from using their right to public comment. This February, we warned about ICE and urged the passing of welcoming city legislation, which this government stated that such legislation was unnecessary. A government that repeatedly ignores its people loses legitimacy. A government that fails to protect and provide for its constituents loses legitimacy. Time and time again, you prove you do not give a damn about the marginalized. Time and time again, you prove you do not give a damn about the poor. You espouse that you represent us and work for us, all but the truth is you must own or represent capital to be heard. Class and racial violence are the foundation of our entire political economy, not just our governing structure. I've stated many meetings the imperial boomerang theory. Again, I will reiterate. The repressive techniques our country developed to control colonial territories will eventually be deployed domestically against our own citizens. ICE is said boomerang. Their violent and illegal treatment is nearly identical to the treatment of Palestinians in the West Bank or Gaza, where the IOF abducts people and holds them without due process for prolonged periods, often years, without formal charges or trial of a crime, let alone conviction of a crime. They are often also subject to torture. That is exactly what happened to our own community members. It is still unknown where these people have been taken to, but what is known is these people have families. They have committed no crime. They unequivocally need to be freed. I must be clear, violence is not just action, but inaction. Inaction of those with power is historically the most damning of all. Complicity is violence, silence is violence. So now, Bethlehem City Council, Mayor Reynolds, Bethlehem PD, I ask, who are your loyalties to? What are you going to do to bring these people home? Shame.
In favor. The next speaker signed up this evening is Joel Atkinson.
Good evening, council members. My name is Joel Atkinson, and I'm a member of the Lehigh Valley chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. I'm here today because I'm outraged that the federal government has violated and invaded our community. What happened last week was not immigration enforcement, it was a raid. It was an act of political theater and terror meant to terrorize, frighten, and destabilize working class immigrant communities. Families are now living in fear. Children are afraid to go to school. Workers are afraid to go to work. That fear is the intended result, and it is our moral, political, and class responsibility to stand against it. Community members have already made clear their stance on Thursday, marching down the road of New Street Bridge, outside of this building, and voicing their anger. Let's be clear. ICE is here to discipline immigrant labor. Decreasing the security of a segment of workers decreases the security of all workers. ICE raids Bethlehem to tell us that no matter how hard immigrants work, no matter how long they live here, or how much they contribute, that they will never be seen as equals in the eyes of this federal government. Bethlehem is a city built by immigrants. Steel workers, laborers, and craftsmen came here from across the globe, and yet today, those same working class values are being betrayed. The federal government has sent militarized agents to drag brown and black workers out of our city and calls it enforcement. But again, it's really just violence. We must respond, and not with half measures. We need real safety. That means condemning this raid, legally enshrining non-cooperation policies, supporting affected workers, legally and otherwise, and also building the capacity to resist and disrupt ICE. Community is not just a word, it is a practice. It is how we prove that Bethlehem will not be a city that collaborates with bigotry and anti-people policies. Because make no mistake, these raids are not just about immigration, they are part of a broader war on the poor. ICE goes after undocumented workers today. And tomorrow, who knows what the feds will crack down on. Protesters, tenants speaking up against greedy landlords, workers trying to organize their workplace. These ICE raids are about testing the limits of federal power and seeing if local communities have the strength to resist. Right now, we're failing. Do those who say these federal laws legally compel us to act in certain ways? I ask you, what law permits ripping families apart? What law justifies the denial of humanity? Laws can always be used to excuse barbarity or excuse inaction. Justice, however, is not what the law demands. It is what we demand here in this room. And today, we demand justice for immigrant neighbors. In the face of barbarous federal laws, I would urge you to get creative with local laws. Our enemies have certainly gotten creative with the law, bypassing the legislature and ignoring the courts. Why can't we? But the creativity of the people is greater than the creativity of those in Washington. We will not let Bethlehem become a city of disappearances. We will not let people be hunted by federal thugs on our streets. And if city council won't fight, then we will fight. The court, we will fight in the courts, the streets, the workplaces, wherever these raids may happen. We're not waiting to vote in November or waiting for you to act. We're organizing now. And we will do our best to defend Bethlehem ourselves, with or without you. And we'll give a minute of silence. Solidarity with the immigrants.
Our next speaker this evening is Jack Schuber. I may read Schuber again. I apologize if I'm misreading.
Hi, I'm Jack. This is my first time attending a city council meeting. I came to speak about the ICE raids at 510 Flats. And to hear what all of you had to say about the matter. It is abhorrent what happened in our city. To hear all of you offer nothing but empty promises, to offer nothing but I don't knows, offer nothing but fake promises of trust that we can have in you. I think it's disgusting for you to move public comment to the end of city council of this meeting. I think it's disgusting for you to make all of these people stay here for your job. It is your job to stay here for as long as it takes. Some of us have jobs, as was mentioned. I don't care if you have to stay until 1 in the morning. By pushing this off until the end of the meeting, you were attempting to silence the residents of this city, to push them out, to make them not stay, to give their comments. I don't want to hear you call the president a bully. He's a fascist. I want to hear what you are going to do to protect the residents of this city. I'd like to use a minute of my time in honor of the 17 who were kidnapped. I wanted to dedicate it to any certain member of that group, but seeing as the administration could not so much as care to even get their names, it will be in dedication of all 17 of them. I think you're all disgusting.
Before I call the next speaker up, I do just want to say, while I understand people's emotions, and obviously giving everyone the ability to use their time as they want to, as is your right, I do just want to reference our council rules that ask anyone to refrain from personal attacks and insults as we talk about. And again, I'm here to give everyone the opportunity to speak who had signed up. You use your time how you wish to. I respect everybody's right to be here, speak. I haven't interrupted anybody tonight, but as we try to have dialogue in this comment and us receive it, I do ask everyone to be, you know, mindful of what the spirit of public comment is, which explicitly outlines trying to avoid inflammatory language, personal attacks, and insults for the good of the conversation in the room. So I do want to, I'll continue to moderate the meeting as I've been, but I also just think that bears mentioning too. Our next speaker who signed up is Syed Chaudhry.
Hi, my name is Saad. I live in the township. I love this city though. My girlfriend lives here. I was taught driving from Callahan, and I was in class with Mr. Evans. I wanted to give a pretty specific perspective on the issue of ICE as a child of immigrants. It's been scary. It's been very, very scary. I'll tell you a story. The day before the 510 Flats incident, my sister and my family went out for a walk, and I had to tell them, please be safe, because you literally have no idea what's going on anymore. And my sister laughed. She was like, what are you talking about? Like, ICE isn't going to come here, you know? What the hell happened? Huh? What happened? They came. They came, nothing happened. They came, they did what they wanted, they left. It is abhorrent. It is very abhorrent. It's an awful thing to happen. And to hear that, you know, like, yeah, like, just the confusion in this room over this thing, when we're all scared. It, like, we should be coming here for you guys to, like, let us know, okay, this is what we're gonna do, this is how we're gonna do it. You're sitting there and telling us you can't do anything? What are the other mayors doing? Glendale just got rid of their contract with ICE or whatever? Is there nothing we can do? Is there literally nothing? I just don't believe that, you know? I really do think that, like, there must be something. I'm sorry, we can't do it. You guys are the people that can. There's no one else. I don't know who else to go to right now, you know? Like, who else am I supposed to go to? Another thing I wanted to mention, Mr. Callahan, you talked about how immigrants have come through Ellis Island throughout the years. What you didn't mention is how they've been hated the entire time. The Irish have been hated. The Italians have been hated until they were considered white, you know? The brown people that are coming, yeah, they're gonna be hated even more because their skin color is different. It is insane, you know? And the thing is that, yeah, like, there are people out there that are getting swept up in the propaganda, you know? There are people out there that are, there is, as Mayor Reynolds put, like, a little bit, not of a majority, but a plurality of people who would, like, believe that this is right. It is your job to showcase that this is not right. It is not on, like, yes, they should understand, but it, like, there is something to do with ignorance that, like, it's really hard to get through. It is on you guys to be there for them as well. It's like, come on. What are you going to do about this? How are you going to bring them home? I want you to think about that in this minute of silence. One more thing I wanted to say before wrapping up. It is hard to even speak my own language now. I do not feel safe speaking Urdu, which is my native language, in public. Many years ago, I've been told, you know, speak American or whatever. It feels much, much more real now that, like, someone might do something to me. Or, better yet, you know, an ICE agent sees me, as has been reported, and just fucking take me, you know? It's bad. This has been really bad. This is, yeah, fascism. Do better.
Thank you. Our next speaker tonight, Marianne Sturges.
Good evening. I am the Reverend Marianne Sturges, 321 Wyandotte Street. I am a priest at the Cathedral Church of the Nativity in the south side of Bethlehem. I've seen many of you even at our church at different events and functions we've had there. And I am here tonight because, like many other people in this room, I'm heartbroken. Because 17 people were snatched less than a mile from where I live and work. They were taken from their jobs as they were attempting to rebuild my neighborhood that I live in. And the belief that this is the way the world has to be, that there's nothing that we can do about it, as was said here tonight by the people on the city council, is really tempting to believe. It's tempting to believe that, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. This is the way the world has to be. But I, as a person of faith, believe that there is something we can do about it. And I believe that love for our neighbors, for all people, for those who look like me, for those who don't look like me, for those who speak my language or don't speak my language, is the answer. And so that is why I'm here. I pray that all of you will have your hearts broken over what has happened in our city, but that we will not stop at the heartbreak. Instead, we will work together, the citizens and the elected officials, to make Bethlehem a place that is actually safe for our immigrant brothers and sisters. And so I pray that we can use our imagination to come up with something that we can do together. And I pray that the next time that this happens, that there is no next time this happens, and that I don't get a phone call that some of my congregants have been taken and kidnapped, and I'm calling to find out where they are. So I ask, and we take a moment of silence to come up with our holy imagination for what we can do to make Bethlehem a place that is actually safe and welcoming for everyone that lives here. Thank you.
Next is Gwen Gisa.
Hi, good evening. My name is Gwen Dietrich. I don't actually live in Bethlehem, but I don't think that this is an issue that only applies to Bethlehem residents. So first, I'd like to say It's really ridiculous that the public comment section was pushed to the end of this meeting. You're all paid to be here. If your agenda runs late, that is not our problem. We do not need to sit through 2 hours of that just to speak our mind. The public comment section is at the beginning of the meeting for a reason. Anyway, we all know what happened last week. 17 people were kidnapped by ICE, and I'd also like to add a name I haven't heard mentioned, I don't think. Edwin Sanchez, he is a Bethlehem resident, 23 years old, who at the beginning of June reported for a mandatory monthly ICE check-in in Philadelphia and was detained, and has been since then. There is a GoFundMe for Edwin for his legal fees online if you go to Make the Road PA and want to donate to him. First, I want to say, these people have families. We're all talking about, like, oh, they were hardworking, whatever. Ultimately, these are humans. These are people. These are our neighbors that were taken. They were disappeared. No one knows where they are. How is it that no officials in this city can even tell us the names of 17 people from your city? What are you doing? Isn't this your job? If you can't figure these things out, who can? And what are you doing? What are you being paid to do? You can't tell us their names. You don't know where they are. We didn't even get the number from you. You wouldn't even have known. If this was not recorded, I don't even think that you would know it would have happened. I know that all of this was addressed earlier in the meeting, but all I've heard from anyone here is a bunch of platitudes. There is not a single solution that has come up, and I've heard a lot over and over again of, what can we do? You know, there's nothing we can do. Oh, this, that. Figure it out. That's your job. If you don't see a solution, find one or make one. You think in the past, when horrible things have happened, people saw an easy way forward? No. They figured it out. They pushed through. They persevered. Look at all the people here. We figured out something to do. Why can't you? I'd also just like to point out, with all this, what can we do? In February, you had a massive opportunity to do something, to pass a welcoming city ordinance to protect people, and you chose not to, and now you're all gonna sit here and say, we can't do anything. No, you chose not to do anything. You chose to remain inactive, and now you're seeing the consequences, and you're gonna say you can't do anything. I don't believe you. I don't think you want to do anything. I don't think you care. I'd also like to add, when that welcoming city ordinance was being debated, there was a statement that was released by Mayor Reynolds and the police chief. Mayor Reynolds is quoted as saying, "In this city, we believe in the power of coalition building and creating a safe and vibrant quality of life for all of our residents. Does being stuffed into an unmarked van count as a vibrant and safe quality of life to you? It does not to me." In that same statement, Bethlehem Police Chief Michelle Cobb was also quoted as saying, "A welcoming policy was unnecessary because our current policies are so strong in this area." So how are 18 people gone if the policy is so strong? Seems quite weak to me. This council chose inaction earlier this year when faced with the possibility that has now very much come true, that your residents would be at risk of being disappeared by ICE. And now they have. That was the wrong choice, but it is never too late to rejoin humanity. You have the option to make the right choice now. I know I'm bringing up all the things that happened in the past, but you have an opportunity here to really dig deep and figure something out. Take a strong stance and say you won't sit idly by while your residents are taken, or at least look for them, try to find them. So now I'm going to take a moment of silence for a minute so you can really all think about what you've done.
Our next speaker is Sharon Finnegan.
Sharon Finnegan, Allentown. I was at the Allentown City Council meeting when we were trying to pass the sanctuary city ordinance. What we got was the watered-down version, the welcoming city. And the fear-mongering that went behind it, it's going to bring the federal government down, what brought the federal government to this area and would anyway, would be the makeup of the city. Anywhere there's immigrants, anywhere there's black and brown, and ultimately it's going to be just anywhere, period. People who look like me have the luxury of feeling hopeless and just, you know, throw my hands up and there's nothing we can do. The people who are afraid to speak their language out in the streets, the people who have family members who they worry about every day, who the children are worried about their parents coming home, they don't have that luxury. So it's do whatever possible. Again, people said creative, come up with something. The language around immigration, criminal, felon, illegal, that only belongs to our president. That is not the description of the community. And it's the, we have to disentangle the legal and the immigration system. It's not a criminal matter, it's a civil matter. It doesn't deserve or need raids or manhunts, and it creates so much human pain, destroys basic fairness and human rights and the safety of young ones, and it'll be everyone's safety. Because it doesn't end here. It's not, this is a Christian white nationalist, white supremacist government that we have right now, and it's gonna go everywhere. It doesn't end here, it doesn't end in any of the cities. So whatever we can do. Again, people said get creative, let's come up with something. Every area in this state, in this country, has to do whatever it takes, because there's more danger coming than we can even realize. And on that, I'm going to take the minute, 17.
On our list is Sarah Lydon. Sarah Lydon here. Oh yeah, I'm going to continue on. I'll go back. Next is Valerie.
Hi, yes, Valerie Noonan. So first, a little earlier when discussing the rules of council, Mr. Clone referred to public comment as a dialogue and a conversation. You've explicitly said before that it's not, and we all know the rules of council here. It's not a dialogue or a conversation because we don't go back and forth. And it's even less of one because you've moved public comment to the end. So I'm not a fan of you having an hour-long discussion about this topic without including the will and the thoughts of the people on your assessment. And when a large group of people show out for council, that's exactly when you should be most diligent in taking in their opinions and their questions into account before having your own discussion. And as we know, it's also prohibitive to people who cannot stay late, and it may discourage people from returning in the future, which is something that you propose to believe that people should feel comfortable coming and coming back. I do kind of, in a way, I can kind of appreciate the honesty of council here, where they're saying they can't do anything, and that it's not going to be solved here, because it's not. And it's not going to be solved by a couple marches either. You know, I did see a few council members out at the march, and it was reported in the news as well. I saw a press guy from Lehigh Valley News hopping up and down on rocks and dividers and stuff. Didn't see the police hardly at all, and I'm given to believe that was an intentional choice. And I mean, I prefer not having cops at my protest, so I was fine with that. But the thing about cops is that they're there to protect the law and not the people, and this is a really explicit case of that. You know, we are kind of hearing that the police essentially lacked even the knowledge or the information to respond, and that the member of the police previously reported to have been on site was just like an attaché to like an ambulance or something, which does give a slightly different picture. But even if the police were there, we all know they wouldn't have done anything. Like, they basically said as much. And that's why I don't really mess with the police. You know, like, we're all familiar with the people who say they were just following orders, but what about people who look the other way? Today, a friend of mine made a comment about the advice in a book that has become popular recently called On Tyranny. On Tyranny. He rewrote the advice, do not comply in advance, to do not comply. He said, it's not enough to just not comply in advance. When a law or order is unjust, it is our duty not to follow it. This is not an easy ask. These are the hardest decisions of our lives. One of the points the author of On Tyranny, Timothy Snyder, shares over and over is, be a patriot. I would offer in its place, be a human. This country will never love you, but your neighbors will. So, to council and to everyone, what are you going to do to bring these people home?
Back in the room.
Hi, my name is Sarah Lydon. First time being here, attending a city council meeting. I live on Church Street, so local. So I just kind of wanted to start with a story that when I was little, my dad would tell me about how my great-grandmother would make the best lucky. If anyone doesn't know what that is, cabbage rolls, so she would make the best cabbage rolls, and it was because, you would say that because, you know, she came from Slovakia, like she had this great recipe, and so I come from ancestors. Everyone here comes from comes from their ancestors who are all immigrants, unless you're Native American, but everyone comes from immigrants. So
I also was told that we were now that now 2% of one of the 2% of the population who had to not come through Ellis Island, we had to sneak in through Canada. I don't get too much more details on that. Probably best not to, but that we had to sneak in through, and they found a life here in America, and we grew up, and I don't think that anyone here is going to blame them for wanting to live in America. What we're doing to our immigrants, why aren't we exhuming all of our ancestors, digging them up and throwing them into the ocean because they came here illegally? I don't think anyone is actually seriously going to do that. I hope not. No one's actually going to do that. So why are we letting our ancestors stay in the ground, but we're so willing to not treat living human beings with the same dignity that we're allowing them to just get shoved into vans, and how we're just saying, we don't know where they are. It seems absurd that we care more about bones in the ground than we do about our own friends and neighbors and family. And from what I've heard, we don't know where they are. We don't know if they're, I hope they're not bones too. It's absurd. It's absurd that we can't tell where these people are. We don't know when they're coming home. We don't know anything. And we also don't know when it's where there's gonna be a next ICE raid, do we? What's preventing them from coming in with somebody buying an ICE jacket, coming in, taking anybody here? We don't have any protections. There was the Welcome City Ordinance that didn't get passed. I just urge that people here in this room would want to put pen to paper and say, I want to protect my fellow people who live in Bethlehem, that you guys can do that for us so we know that we're safe here in what is otherwise a fairly great city. Why can't we do that? It's very upsetting. So I just kind of want to give a minute to just have you guys muddle that over, all of those questions of what we can do better and what we can do to return these people home. Thank you.
Next is Jim Lopez.
Hey, at first I was upset, but now I really just want to thank you all for moving our public comment to the end and trying to exhaust us. I think that backfired spectacularly on all of you guys. Here we all are, because who protects us? We protect us. It's deeply concerning that these questions that you guys are all saying here tonight were not asked prior to this meeting and prior to our neighbors being kidnapped, as a lot of these questions you had today were things I learned at my first ever meetings about protecting immigrants. Your ignorance is willful, and it is a choice. You are all here admitting to us today that you are not remotely prepared or aware of what to do right now. Look around you, Council. This room is full of people working on these very issues in much more tangible ways than you ever will, most likely. And I encourage you all now, in this room, after 10 p.m., I know it's past my bedtime, everyone that's left here, look at our leaders in the eye during this last minute, or this next minute, as they ignore us. They scan their phones, they eat their chips, and they refuse to meet us in the eye, and occasionally, some of y'all have been rolling your eyes. And I ask you, council members, to sit with these feelings of discomfort and maybe shame while you look back at us. Can you look at your constituents in the eye during this next minute of silence as we ask you, what are you going to do to protect our kidnapped neighbors? Hear me, my friends in this room and council members. The Constitution begins with we the people, not them, the council. And we the people was not meant to be taken as a metaphor. We the people are quite literally the first line of defense to our own. We will protect our families, our neighbors, and our futures, with or without your permission. But I suppose it would be nice if we could work together. So while you delay, we organize. While you hesitate, we protect each other. And while you fail to act, we are building something stronger than any position or title you may hold could ever be, because this movement is rooted in solidarity and love for its community and its people. And in that spirit, I thank you, because your failure to lead has honestly inspired some of the greatest movements I have seen in this area. And I've lived here my entire 36 years of life. In every corner of the Lehigh Valley, community members are stepping up, not waiting, but building. Not begging, but becoming. Because who protects us? And go get that pizza when you're done here today, because we also feed us too.
Yes, Lacky. Stephen Rogers. Stephen Rogers here, is it by now? Leo Atkinson.
Leo Atkinson, I'm a resident of Bethlehem, 702 Broadway. And I am the co-chair of Lehigh Valley Democratic Socialists of America. First of all, I just want to address this stunt of moving the public comment to the end of the meeting. And after this extended grandstanding we all got to watch earlier, I want to say it's a shame that this is how we're conducting public meetings. I think, you know, there are plenty of people that you're not going to hear from tonight. We've been hearing them get skipped in the roll call because they cannot stay this late. And I don't think, I think people have already commented on this, but that was clearly the intended consequence of moving public comment to the end of this meeting. It did give me some time to add some to my statement, though, so thank you for that. We are all here because we wanted your leaders to lead us in this community and help us keep our friends and neighbors safe. You had every opportunity to talk and have answers before today, You could have been ready for your constituents, and you put all these people through that performance before. These people, your constituents, took the time out of their evenings wanting to give you public comment, and if you're going to move it, we deserve for you to have the answers ready for us. If you want us to treat you and these meetings with respect, as you have said, we deserve some respect in return. So I do want to address the ICE as well, but I do want to pause for a minute right now and let us reflect on our stolen friends and neighbors and this poor process that we've experienced tonight. Thank you. What happened last week is not an incident or an issue as it was previously described. It was an abduction and the beginning of what our federal government promises will be an ongoing act of terror against our community. I want to emphasize that what is happening are acts of terror. It is not enough to hear our absent mayor at this point and acting chief pat themselves on the back for what they could have done or not done. It is not enough to discuss how powerful the federal government is and how scary all of this is. We're all feeling it. We're all scared. That's not why we're here. Unlike what some of you have said, there is more that can be done, and there's more that you can do and that we can do together. The discussion we need our leaders to have is what they can do for us, for our community. What additional services are needed right now? It seems that you are all at a loss for ideas, but I came up with a few sitting here tonight. Are we discussing funding legal aid for people in this community to help protect or help them get legal status or to give them aid after they've been abducted by federal agents? Are you discussing ways to start alerting the community when we get tipped off and aware of ICE presence in Bethlehem? Are you organizing aid for the families and friends of people who may get kidnapped in the future? Again, I've heard the mayor, the police, and the multitude of solicitors we have here tonight who maybe could help with some of these immigration legal questions discuss what happened last week and what strategies are already in use, but not what more we can do together. We are here tonight because we wanted to work with you and with the city to make our community safe. I sincerely hope this conversation can start today, and I want to invite you, if we're not going to be able to keep our community safe in this space, to come to some of our spaces. So I'm going to hand out some flyers if you want to join us in Lehigh Valley Democratic Socialist of America. We'd love to have you join, be part of the solution to this problem.
I'm going to move on with our next speaker. I'll give the gentleman a minute. Oh, a few seconds. We're going to move on to the next person, John Irons.
My name is John Irons. I live in Bethlehem. I'm also a Lehigh County Commissioner. I want to echo first both things that Leo and Valerie mentioned about moving a public comment. I'm a little bit at a loss for how what the actual rules of this council are with this. I've seen that the council seems to have an ability to produce a motion out of nowhere and change the structure of the agenda. out of nowhere when they feel it's in the council's best interest, but when it's been directly requested and organized by community members, it was somehow impossible. And that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. When you put out the agenda, stay to the agenda. Do not modify the agenda. It's not respectful to people who are showing up, people both who are organized to show up to a meeting like this and people who are not organized who are showing up just to talk on other issues. I really don't get it, and all it does is just betray trust and erode relationships with organizers in the community. On that note, I think the conversation that we heard around ICE and the relationship to the city of Bethlehem, these are the same conversations that we're having in Lehigh County. And one thing that's really clear to me is that because of the inability to do anything, right, that there's nothing we can pass, there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that the police can do, there's no way to expect this information. Maybe someone has a number that we can call, maybe not, but we're definitely not going to share that number with anyone who actually is, you know, here in the room. It's really showing that there's a huge power vacuum that's opened up in this country. That's not unique to Bethlehem, but I am acutely aware of it. And that power vacuum, thankfully, for community members who are being taken and kidnapped from work sites for doing their job and rebuilding our community, thankfully, that power vacuum is being filled by organizers and activists right now. And you're also seeing those same organizers and activists being targeted by riot police, by National Guards, and by active duty Marines in the streets. We need your help. I think there's this idea that it's somehow hard or difficult, or when you get elected you can't be an activist, or that it's hard to be an activist and an elected at the same time. It's not difficult. You need a couple of things. You need to be able to listen and trust activists and organizers, build those relationships. That's on you. You need to be prepared for what it's going to take to put your body and use your credibility and use your position on the line. And there are ways that you can prepare for that. And the last thing you need to do is have courage and creativity to come out of a moment of things that have been done, precedented times, you know, motions and rules and even laws, and understand that we are operating with actors that are not acting within the law. So a couple other things you can do, and this is something I would, two things I'm going to invite you to do directly. One is that some of us have been organizing a rapid response network, and you know, Mr. Colon, you asked, you know, is there a number we can call, who can we call, is there someone who can call to sort of deal with this? We're trying to build that, and it's taking a lot of time, but it's in process, and you can be a part of that. At the action that happened on Thursday, some of you were there. There's an opportunity for you to sign up to become part of that network and be prepared to act as a volunteer. Use whatever skills and position you have to bring to that moment. And so I'm going to ask you to, if you haven't already signed up, to sign up. And if you need the information, you can come and talk to me or reach out to me, and we'll get you connected. The other thing that you're probably going to need to do, and we can see this because we see mayors and senators and everyone being arrested, is get trained in what nonviolent direct action actually looks like. So one of you on this board, one of you on this council, I think, should organize a direct action, nonviolent direct action training for elected officials in the Lehigh Valley. I will come to that. I will attend it. I've been trained in nonviolent direct action, but I will come and support and be there. I'm not going to do that because I'm already busy trying to organize the number that you are looking for. And the last thing I'm going to say is that it's, you know, I'm an immigrant. I was not born in this country. And so I know that they are going to come for me. And I'm going to ask you all to take this time, this last 20 seconds, to think about what it is that you're going to do when they come for me and they take me away from my job site.
Thank you, Mr. Irons. Our next speaker is Alex Neff.
Hello, Alex Neff. This is my first time speaking here at Bethlehem City Council. I just want to reiterate everything that has just been spoken about by the organizers and activists here, not only about the ICE raids, but the political theater that occurred this evening. I am also coming here as an educator of students. I am deeply concerned, not only, and a student of history, of course, too, and deeply concerned about the obvious and apparent rise in fascism in this country through this administration, from the local to the federal level. And as I do with my students, I like to do close readings, right? So I brought some art and historical analysis to you all tonight, rather than the excellent speeches that you've heard of political analysis. I think we can go a little more into other ways of thinking. Obviously, we're looking for solutions here too. So if you would listen along with me, I think that would be really meaningful. And then at the end, we will have yet another moment of silence for you to reflect on the words I am about to speak today. So I wouldn't be a good teacher if I didn't give you a little historical analysis and context. This is a poem, an excerpt from a poem called Those Born Later by the exiled playwright, poet, and performance theorist Bertolt Brecht, who fled Nazi Germany. Truly, I live in dark times. The guileless word is folly. A smooth forehead suggests insensitivity. The man who laughs has simply not yet had the terrible news. What kind of times are they when a talk about trees is almost a crime because it implies silence about so many horrors? That man there calmly crossing the street is already perhaps beyond the reach of his friends who are in need. It is true, I still earn my keep, but believe me, that is only an accident. Nothing I do gives me the right to eat my fill. By chance, I've been spared. If my luck breaks, I am lost. They say to me, eat and drink. Be glad you have it. But how can I eat and drink if I snatch what I eat from the starving? And my glass of water belongs to one dying of thirst, and yet I eat and drink. I would also like to be wise. In the old books, it says what wisdom is, to shun the strife of the world and to live out your brief time without fear. Also, to get along without violence, to return good for evil. Not to fulfill your desires, but to forget them. That is accounted wise. All this I cannot do. Truly, I live in dark times. Moment of silence for those 17 taken. Starting now.
Even my thing.
Hello, my name is Stephen Michek. I am actually a resident of Allentown, but I consider Bethlehem my second home. Twelve score and 9 years ago, our country was founded as a response to a lack of representation from a tyrannical despot. Our country was founded on an ideal, and although that reality has made as such that we have not achieved that ideal, we have slowly chipped away towards that ideal, the ideal that all people are created equal, and that we all are allowed to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our history is a history of waves. With each wave, we have a large part of our population fighting against this wave with all of our might, often with people from the previous waves participating in this discrimination. Today, we are at a crossroads, a Rubicon at which the crossing of shall change the course of this country forever. Last Wednesday, ICE agents abducted 17 immigrants without warning. These immigrants, people trying to pursue the American dream of a better life, not just for themselves, but for their friends and families and everyone they care about. These people were taken without warning, without due process, and placed without warning into a detention center with abhorrent conditions, often with a lack of basic necessities such as food and water. Due process is a basic right of our country, is a foundational right to everyone in our country, regardless of legal, financial, social, religious, racial, or political status. To put it in perspective, literal Nazis were given due process during the Nuremberg trials. To do nothing about this, to let ICE take away these people, often to places unknown, to say that these people often just trying to find a better life, are lesser than people who knowingly, actively, proudly committed genocide. It is our duty to do something to bring these people back and to prevent more kidnappings indefinitely. I will now leave a minute of silence for the 17 taken.
Next speaker is Farah Farbod, and previous speaker, I apologize for mispronouncing your last name. I'm going to be stepping out for a moment. Council Vice President Rachel Leon will continue going through the list and opening up to the room. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Actually, my full name is Farmar Farbod, but Farah does it. I've Americanized it for people who have known me here for the past 40-some years. I'm a naturalized immigrant. So I know the pain of being a binational and having the grief of having two homes and never being in the same place and feel holistic. But I wasn't going to come here because I was tired. I had not eaten since last night. I didn't sleep much. The reason was because I was paying attention in detail to the bombs that are dropping in the country and the city of my birth. Tehran, and this is being done by complicity of a rogue state called the United States, I'm sorry to say so, because this is my second home of my choice, and also by another state that's committing genocide in Palestine, bombing people in Yemen, heroic people of Yemen, who are actually doing something about stopping a genocide. And the international community and the United States doesn't do it. And also an expansionist state that has gone and bombed Syria, taken more territory of it, and is going to stay that way and occupy it. And it's now bombing Iran, an ancient civilization whose country's age is far, far greater than the country that's bombing it, like the country that's bombing it. Age is less than some of the people here. So I'm very angry, And of course, I'm here also because this country is devouring itself.
How many people in this neighborhood can afford a 2,000 rent? Let me know. That's why we see many people from New York, to Jersey coming here. And if you look at people living, they don't have choice. The rents are sky high. The character of our neighborhood is erased. And the gap between the privileged and everyone else keeps growing. If housing is a human right, we must ask, for whom are we building? And at what cost? Why do working class, diverse communities carry the weight of overdevelopment while wealthy areas are protected by zoning and privilege? We are told this is progress, but the basic services in our neighborhood are failing. So please, the Lehigh Valley already has some of the worst air quality in the country. Yet, we keep paying over, we keep paving over every bit of green spaces, treating major trees as if they were disposable, turning high-density communities into pressure cookers, where people suffer from overheating, pollution, asthma, and other health risks. Our streets are buried in concrete and trash. You can drive around, you will see, except that you will not see it in some neighborhood. Example is the north side. Overflowing bins, illegal dumping, mess pickup, and flooding of basement and street from the start. We now face due to climate change. The city's basic water management regulations have not been updated to meet this new reality. This is daily life for many of us. So I'm asking you now, even if I am glad to see that you take in consideration the climate action plan in all your planning, what are you going to do to help the community, to live in their house, to live a decent life, have a way to afford housing? What are your plans on that? That's what I would like to know. So this ice trade was terrible, but I think this is like the signal for you to take care of the community. And as others, I will leave the rest of my time for the 17th, but not only for the 17th, or the one in Bethlehem they never talk about. All the people who cross the border that they took away. All the people of this country they took away. But also for the people, the missing persons that you can see on pictures in Mexico.
My name is Kelsey Morrison. I live in Fountain Hill. I wasn't planning on speaking today. I didn't actually even know if I'd be able to make it to the meeting at all. So thank you to everyone who spoke before me to be able to give me some time to speak. I'm an educator. I serve my community. I love the students that I work with. And I am a helper. It's who I am as a person. I look out for my neighbor. I make sure the people around me are safe. As I said, I'm an educator. I am also a medic by choice. I'm an activist by choice. I want to help others. You are in a position of public service. Your job is also to help others. Your job is to look out for those who can't look out for themselves. Your job is to make sure you stand up for your neighbors, for the people who are around you. I know some of you up there on council personally. I've known you for years. I know that you are very proud of your heritage. I know that you're proud of the countries you came from. You're lucky because of the color of your skin. Or you're lucky that the country you came from is not the one that's currently being targeted. That doesn't mean that's not going to change. If you don't act out of your job, to look out for those around you. Act for self-preservation, because it won't be long before the target changes. That's all I have to say.
Is there anyone else to the left who wanted to make comment? I wasn't had a chance to yet. I turn to the center and I go from left to right. Yeah, in the middle row.
Give me just 1 second, my phone died.
Understand.
Good evening, Council. I'd like to thank you for hosting this public comment section, delayed as it may be. My name is Zach, and I just come to you as a concerned resident of the Lehigh Valley. I've lived here my entire life alongside immigrants. I went to public schools with immigrants. My girlfriend is a child of immigrants. So it deeply concerns and disturbs me to see ICE rounding people up and acting with impunity in this city, even without effectively letting our local police departments know what they're doing. Across the city, we've seen ICE agents impersonating local law enforcement, refusing to identify themselves and acting unconstitutionally without judicial warrants. I'm not going to make a moral argument here tonight or throw around accusations or do any of that stuff because I think we've all heard enough of that. I'm going to say what I think should be done, and I'm going to hope that you listen to me and that when this is all over, you discuss it among yourselves and take a stance. Firstly, I believe we should adopt this Welcome in City legislation, which it sounds like the council already supports, even if it was shot down before. Because, I mean, the mayor, who's not here right now, talked about how this is an inclusive city, and I don't think we consider ourselves such without such legislation. Putting this on the books would make it clear to undocumented residents or legal immigrants scared of ICE that they can trust the Bethlehem police. That I think this type of ordinance will go a long way in building the trust with local law enforcement and the hope that if they respond to calls about ICE raids, that they will respond on the side of the people, not the side of the federal government. Secondly, I would like to speak to you directly, and I want Bethlehem Police to take a more aggressive stance in ensuring that ICE operations, if they must be done here at all, are done entirely by the books and legally. I would also ask the local police to arrest people who may very well be pretending to be ICE agents, like we saw in Philly a week ago, where someone impersonated an ICE agent, tied someone up, and stole a grant from them. And I hope you're all aware that enshrined in Pennsylvania law, immigrants, undocumented or not, have the right to any public service that is necessary to protect life and safety. ICE has proven themselves to be a danger to public safety both directly and indirectly because of what they have shown that they can do and how they've shown they can act with impunity. ICE agents routinely go unidentified and act recklessly without informing local government of their actions or a few minutes before they are pulling up to go arrest 17 people like what happened here. So what stops people from pretending to be an ICE agent if we allow such irresponsible use of power? And I've mentioned how it's already happening, and I'm asking the city of Bethlehem to do whatever they have to do whatever they can to put an end to this in our locality, to adopt ordinances to force ICE to show their faces, give their names, serial numbers, and sign judicial warrants to all people who ask. Otherwise, they should be arrested for impersonating local law enforcement. Bethlehem PD should be present at every ICE operation or responding to reports of ICE operations with the highest priority, because we don't know whether they're ICE or not when they don't identify themselves. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendments are being respected, that the rights of our people are not being diminished because the federal government is out of control. I would also ask the council to request state representatives to inspect nearby ICE facilities or immigration facilities, as they have the authority to do, to find our people, our neighbors. What we need is effective leadership and a powerful stance against federal aggression and overreach, not thoughts and prayers, or hope for change without actionable steps, which is what I hope I'm able to get you guys thinking about. We've seen what happens when ICE is allowed to do whatever they want, and I don't want that here, and I don't think any of you want that here. I really don't, because, I mean, I think you guys want to do the jobs you were elected to do. I hope you want to do the jobs you were elected to do, and that means protecting your people. Even if it's from the federal government, even if you're scared, because God, I know I'm scared because I'm shaking right now. It's not enough to shake our fists in the air out of reaction. We must be proactive. Thank you.
Stephen N. Talix, Senator Sutton Ridge. I have this prepared speech here, which I'm not going to read, simply because, well, and it's intended to display ineptness and lack of leadership of counsel from a historical point of view. But I've just witnessed that by the speakers on the current event. The kidnapping of the workers. Clearly, the speakers spoke from someone who orchestrated it. Brilliant move. It's clearly orchestrated. And with the intent of doing the same thing I was intending to do. And he did it. Or she did it. How? All the speakers had one common denominator. The person abducted. And in a formally run meeting, it would require only one moment of silence. Repeat, in a properly run meeting, it would require only one moment of silence from a person who could be speaker for the group because they were here for a common cause. Clearly they had communication because it was orchestrated. So, what did that do? It exposed the ineptness and lack of leadership because the continued moments of silence should have been overridden. Because you only need one. When a person dies, everyone will get up and have a moment of silence. Come on. So whoever did it, you should run for city council. Because you'd be a hell of a president.
We'll continue on.
Hola, mi nombre es Elianis Gautier. Soy la orgullosa madre de dos hermosos y talentosos adolescentes a los que amo con todo mi corazón. Todos los días doy lo mejor de mí para enseñarles cómo navegar a través de estos tiempos difíciles, cómo tomar decisiones, cómo pensar críticamente para que no caigan en la desinformación que a muchos ha llevado a un camino de odio y persecución. Una de las cosas que les digo constantemente es que el silencio es violencia. El silencio es complicidad. Es en honor a lo que le enseño a mis hijos que hoy estoy aquí rompiendo el silencio y dirigiéndome no a este conjunto de políticos que tengo enfrente, sino a la comunidad latina de Bethlehem. En este mismo momento, no tenemos que preguntarnos si este gobierno pondrá un blanco en nuestras espaldas. Ya lo tenemos. En ese momento, no tenemos que preguntarnos si vendrán por nosotros. Ya están secuestrando a miembros de nuestra comunidad. Es en este mismo momento en que todos, como comunidad, tenemos que tomar acción. Es hora de unirnos. La frase, el pueblo unido jamás será vencido. No es solo un canto de protestas. No son palabras que gritamos al viento y que vemos desaparecer en el aire. No. Esa frase tiene peso. Tiene el peso de cientos de movimientos en los que el pueblo se unió, luchó y se defendió. Sí. Demanden que sus representantes pasen legislaciones para protegerlos, a sus hijos, a sus familias, a sus vecinos y amistades. Sí. Manténganse activos políticamente y envueltos en todos los procesos de la legislación de esta Junta, porque las decisiones tomadas aquí les van a afectar directamente. Y sí, exijan a sus representantes que asuman la responsabilidad de cumplir con las promesas de campañas de defender y abogar por sus derechos como residentes de esta ciudad. Pero no pongan su fe en ellos. No esperen que nazca de ellos el tomar acción para proteger la comunidad hispana. Muchos están más preocupados en las consecuencias políticas que tendrán por tomar estas acciones que en tomar las acciones correctas para literalmente defender a los miembros de sus familias contra un gobierno tiránico. Muchos de estos políticos verán los secuestros de sus familiares y se harán un lado. No dirán nada. Nuevamente, el silencio es violencia. El silencio es complicidad. Únanse como comunidad. Como dice mi amiga, Kelsey, nosotros nos tenemos a nosotros mismos para protegernos. En estos tiempos de ineptitud, inacción y crueldad de parte de todos los niveles del gobierno, es cuando la unidad se vuelve un requisito indispensable para el pueblo. Es cuando unimos las manos y sin importar del país que venimos, el estado legal que tengamos o cómo es que llegamos a vivir a esta área, demandamos ser tratados con la dignidad y el respeto que merecemos. Únanse a las protestas. Únanse a grupos de apoyo a la comunidad inmigrante. Únanse a grupos activistas que buscan pasar legislaciones que los protejan. Y no paren de exigir justicia, no solo para los hispanos, sino para todas las comunidades marginalizadas en este país. Nadie será libre hasta que todos lo seamos. Gracias y buenas noches.
Gracias. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make comment? I'll start with the person right behind the lectern. Sorry, I couldn't see if Mara's out.
Thank you.
And then the person who started coming around, you'll be next. Okay.
Hello, my name is Paul Christian. Like many in this room, I was disgusted to hear about Wednesday's ICE raids. Who were these men who were ambushed and carted away? What were they doing that necessitated this treatment? Were they, as our government's propaganda informs us, rampaging through our streets with guns, slaughtering innocent white citizens? No. These men are workers. They have committed no crime. In fact, they were complying with the demands this country puts on all immigrants, to work. The same people who rail against welfare and handouts demand deportation for these men, for the crime of working a job, for putting groceries on the table and money in the landlord's pocket. for doing what nearly everyone in this room does every day. Because of this, we have more in common with these kidnapped workers than with the pandering politicians who demand their abduction, or with the cowardly bullies who carry out those orders with or without a warrant. ICE says these kidnappings are for our safety and well-being, but the sight of workers and students dragged into vans and disappeared to God knows where does not and should not make us feel safe. The victims of these kidnappings never did anything to hurt me, nor did the many immigrants I've worked with in the warehouses and restaurants of the Lehigh Valley. I do not know their legal status, and I don't care. It's not my business. What I do know is that my life would not be better if a single one of them disappeared. On a personal note, my partner teaches ESL in Allentown, and one of their students, despite following to the letter each legal requirement to preserve his visa, has been forced to self-deport. His choice was simple. He could walk away from his job, friends, and loved ones on his own 2 feet or be dragged away by ICE thugs. He would have graduated this Thursday. I will now ask you the same question that has been asked you many times tonight. What are you going to do to return our stolen neighbors? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Evelyn, and I just wanted to start off with the fact that some of you just look so disinterested right now that you are seem to care more about being here until 11 p.m. than you do about 17 of our neighbors being abducted and taken who knows where and who knows if they're still alive or not. It disgusts me. And I would also, you know, like to say that, like, for as welcoming as this city it claims to be without any sort of legislation, I am scared. As a trans woman in America now, if you aren't willing to step up for anyone else, who are you willing to step up for? Will it be me? Will they come for me? And will you be here to protect us, as is your job as counselors? And 17 people, you might look at the city of Bethlehem, all 80-something thousand of it, but I feel like 17 people, you know, that's a lot of people. That is all of the council. The 3 first responders here, our absent mayor, and you and the 3 suits who are here, that I feel like that 17 people would go notice if they got dragged off. So I think it's sort of a disrespect to the equality of people that the answer so far that we have had is outside of Councillor Leon finding the names of 4 of the people have been largely, we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. And I would like to finish off with a quote from Mr. Rogers, that in times of disaster, you look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. And I find a lot of helpers in this audience today, but not many behind desks. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the wide center who wants to make comment? Turn to the right, anyone to the right? Yes, in the very front.
Hello. My name is Raya Abdal. I'm sure you're all excited to see me again. I was here multiple times last year, where we were told that anything outside of our city should not be brought here, because it was not any of your business, essentially. And now we have brought forth something that is your business, and it got shut down. So, as many people said in this room, I feel like you are not doing your jobs. I'm not going to repeat everything that everyone has said because we've heard it tonight, but I will tell you what the expectation is moving forward. And the expectation is that every single one of you show up to the protest, show up to our rapid response meetings, give us a heads up when we're about to have people get abducted in our city. That's the least you can do at this point. That is your responsibility. You were elected by the people. By the people who are also 50% Latino in the city. And those are the demographics that are being targeted right now. I would like to spend 1 minute in silence for the 17 folks that were kidnapped and that did not get to go home to their families and are still missing. And before I get out, speaking to your constituents should never be an inconvenience. Just saying.
Thank you. Was there anyone else to the right who wants to make comment? Because I had a chance. Did I miss anyone?
There were so many good things said tonight. These are young people that are speaking. I think I'm really hoping you all take to heart a lot that was said this evening. As you can see, when I'm on Wikipedia, I don't present. Oh, what do I want to say? I want to say, ever since October 2023, I've been participating in a ceasefire vigil on the corners of Wyandotte. Every day I leave, my husband says, be careful out there. Make sure you get home safely. So I'm acutely aware of some of the things people have said this evening about first they came for, you know, these people, then they might come for me. So I think that we really need to take to heart what is happening here in our community and take care of our neighbors. I go out there each week for the people that can't. That's all I wanted to say.
Was there anyone else in the room who has not had a chance to speak who wanted to make comment this evening? That concludes tonight's meeting. Get home safe, everybody.